Hi, Steve. Debbie Elias behind the lens. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very excited to be speaking with you. I have long admired your work. It's not easy doing specialty makeups, prosthetics, body casts, and then coming up with something as lifelike and authentic as you have done with Sasquatch Sunset. You blew my mind with this one,
Wow.
Steve. Blew
Thank
my mind.
it was truly like a labor of love on this one. It was something I'd always kind of wanted to do, and the opportunity presented, and I was just like, we've got to carry this movie. These are characters. They're not just monsters in the woods. So, we got to do this right, or there's no point in doing it.
And I think this is the first time this has ever happened where it's your work, it's the makeup, the prosthetics, all that hair work, every single frame of the film. This is not
I
something
know.
we see.
It was a challenge, and I've said this many times. I think it's the hardest thing we've ever done, but it was also probably the most rewarding for that reason, because it was just, it's unheard of to try to even try to do something like this. So the fact that we actually got through it and it came out well, I say, to my whole team that I worked with on this thing is like, you guys, we earned this one.
People might not realize this, but with especially suits with the hair and everything, it's one thing if you're on a sound stage in a controlled environment. You can determine, the directors can determine how much wind they want, how much water they want, what the temperature is to keep the actors comfortable. This was shot outside in Redwood Forest up in Humboldt County. You're in the elements. You've got rough terrain that they've got to walk on, and you're going to be subjected to rubbing against trees, sitting against trees, bark, poison ivy, poison oak. You have all of this stuff that you have to factor into your design and your work. How
You
challenging!
kind of read my mind. It's funny that you're saying all this, because it's the things that nobody thinks about, really. That is exactly what you said. I mean, it's like, usually you do this kind of thing and you're on a sound stage in idealized conditions, and if you're too hot, you get to go sit in your air-conditioned trailer. And this is where I just can't say enough good things about our cast. And especially, Riley and Jesse, because they've never done anything like that before. And probably never will want to again. But they got thrown in the deep end, and they wham.
But now, knowing that you would be out in the environment and subject to the elements themselves, how did that factor into your design of these Sasquatch, of these Bigfoot suits with the hair? And because it's all so lifelike. I admit you did make me laugh hysterically when I saw the pencil width penis.
That's the brothers right there. They said, give them a carrot.
Yeah.
A long, thin carrot is what they wanted. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird, but all right.
It was hilarious. But and the thing is, if any like teens, preteens are watching this movie, and I guarantee you some may, they're gonna see that and they're gonna bust a gut laughing because you never see anatomical correctness in anything. Planet of the Apes movies being the best example, Harry and the Hendersons, you don't see the anatomical correctness. Here, you've got a pregnant Bigfoot, you've got the males, you've got Bigfoot doing very human things, throwing up, and everybody wonders, is a bear shit in the woods? Well, does a Sasquatch? Well, now we know.
I think that's part of the magic of this movie. I know it turns some people off, but I think the reality is, you stop and think about it, and it's like, well, I guarantee all that stuff in every nature documentary that's ever been shot, they've just cut it out.
Yeah.
David and Nathan just didn't bother cutting it out.
But given all of that abuse that your costumes are going to take, in addition to the nature, how did that impact your design? and what materials you were using to craft incredible costumes.
Thank you. We knew what we were getting into. I mean, it was worse than we expected. I'll say that. I would say in my almost 30 years, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's also probably the most rewarding because we got through it. But the suits, there's only so many materials you can use out there, and the reality is like you can go to silicone, which is like the common thing for prosthetics now, but it doesn't breathe, and once it starts to self-destruct, it's like you lose it. And so we went to foam latex for this, which is old school. It's been around for decades, and when it breathes, it can cool off. You can sweat through it. It's lightweight. You know, it's easily repairable. You know, and so I mean, we went in knowing that we weren't going to have, you know, half a dozen backups of these things for each character. I mean, there was one backup for each one, and that was mostly just so we'd have time to dry out the other one when they'd been sweating in it or they'd been thrown into a river or whatever was going to happen to them. So, we didn't have a lot of opportunity to really stop and, like, design, per se, how we would build these things. It was kind of just came from experience and knowing what we were getting into. Again, the material selection and choices there, and actually the execution of the build was very fast for something like this. And then getting down there and shooting it was just like we were doing 16-hour days on set, you know, between the application and the shooting and the removal. And then we spent a couple more hours and our weekends doing repairs. So it was kept as a functional thing that kept on working because we just didn't stop working.
Wow.
That's the best way to put it.
Now, what were you're using foam latex for the suits themselves. Yeah. What were you using for the hair? Because, and I see differential in the hair between the characters. The alpha male has much coarser hair, especially on the head. You can really see it there. As opposed to the female, it's lighter. Same with the child. So I'm curious
A lot of that was in our finishing of it, you know, and Kayla Dobelos, who was kind of my assistant head of department, and she spent a lot of time figuring out the hair and what we didn't want is we didn't want them all to walk out of the salon. So, you know, these guys are living in the wild, they're rolling in the dirt, they're, you know, swimming in a river and then falling in the mud, you know. They needed to be dirty and mangy, and, you know, they groom each other, but they didn't need to look like, you know, again, like just walked out of a salon. So there was, the bodies were made from NFT, which is, it's a company, it's a four-way stretch synthetic fur that you can get, National Fiber Technologies. It was kind of, honestly, I had a color palette in mind, and it would blend into the woods, but not completely to the point of disappearing. And they had just enough to keep us, get us started, basically. And that was then groomed and styled and cut and sludged and dirtied in ways to make them stand out from each other.
Mm-hmm.
The heads were all knotted lace pieces, all human hair. And then just, again, same things, just groomed and styled in ways that would, you know, give them character and add to their character. You know, obviously different colors knotted in for different characters. You know, the alpha Nathan, older, so he had more gray in his hair. And Christoph being the younger one, we went more blonde and just gave him more of a youthful appearance. His hair was more clean and finished, I guess, just to make him look more youthful in general.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit denser as well. There was actually quite a thought process put into the design of these guys, you know, just right down to the sculptures. I mean, each sculpture is different, not just based on the actor, but based on the persona of the actor's personality of them. So you get Nathan, who's kind of he's the alpha, but he's also kind of like the big, dumb, you know, kind of somewhat mean, whatever guy. So we kind of did the more stereotypical approach to him of kind of the monster in the woods kind of approach where...
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, Jesse is he's the thinker, you know, so we wanted to put kind of a sense of kind of wonder into his face, which Same thing with Kristoff, made the eyes bigger, like the eye sockets of the sculpture in the face, you know, and how the hair worked around them was all done in a way to make his eyes look larger, because to give that, you know, kind of youthful curiosity kind of effect. So it's not easy to explain, but I mean, there was, you know, in the time we had, there was a lot of thought put into it.
Well, just looking at the characters and seeing the distinctions between them, I could tell there was a lot of thought put into this, because each one of these Bigfoots have their own distinct personalities, and that really comes through. It comes through in their movement, the body movement. Did you have to do any kind of allowances at the joint areas of the suits so they had more freedom to move their arms?
So, I mean, they were all done on body casts of the actors. So we had met with them and done the traditional life casting, body casting, all that kind of stuff. Suit people are used to that kind of, you know, restrictiveness of a foam latex suit where it just feels tight and kind of confining.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jesse and Riley, that was a new experience for. We ended up actually, because we had the luxury of having the hair suit over it, over the muscle suit. We did actually, you know, cut out the armpits, for example, and like scissor them half out on Riley and Jesse's suits, and some of the joints were just kind of, the foam part of them were kind of opened up just to loosen up the restrictiveness of it and allow for better movement, and that just gave them more comfort to, you know, get in and do their performance.
Because this whole film relies on performance.
I mean, it's completely character driven.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's the thing that really drew us to it in the first place. I mean, aside from the fact that it's Ari's production company and we have that relationship with them, but it's the fact that these were characters and not just a monster in the woods or, you know, the silly guy doing a jerky commercial.
Yeah. But now the real standout with each one of these characters is the face, the eyes. We get so much emotion from the eyes, the eye movement. I love what you've done with the face that we do, the eyes are not restricted at all in terms of the eyelids going up, down, even surprise. The forehead will go up slightly, the brow area. Talk to me about structuring the faces so that the eyes would speak and really be the windows into these creatures.
Yes, I mean, and that was one of the very first conversations I had with David and Nathan, was that absolutely did not want to use contact lenses of any sort. You know, I mean, it's not practical to shoot a movie like this out in the woods with contact lenses, but regardless of that, I thought it was a bad idea. And for exactly that reason, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul, right? And we're getting these name actors who are amazing performers and covering them in rubber, which is already a challenge for them. And then the one thing that you really need to leave is the eyes, because so much of the performance was going to come from that. I mean, especially with Riley, I think that was, you know, the case. I mean, she's kind of mastered that 1,000-yard stare of just, you know, of like, just, oh my God, I'm just stuck with these idiots for the rest of my life. and it's just kind of the beaten down, battered, you know, female character, you know, that's kind of usually a stereotype, but in this movie, I think it makes it, you know, she's the matriarch and she's the one who's keeping them all alive, really, because the rest of them are too stupid to keep themselves there, in a way. For that reason, it was just super important to just make sure that we didn't in any way restrict the eyes or their ability to express through their eyes. So yeah, we you know, the appliances actually go right up literally to the waterline on the lower lid, and the brows are obviously, they have that kind of simian brow to them. They're all done extremely thin. I mean, 3/16 of an inch. We put a little character into each one as far as the brow sculpt. I mean, the alpha being Nathan, you know, he's the angry kind of brutish guy, and so we made him a little bit more, you know, angry browed. And, you know, again, like I said, with Kristoff, we just kind of we opened up the whole structure around the eyes just to give him kind of a little bit of that sense of youthful wonder and curiosity. Riley, it was like a very deliberate brow structure that would kind of amplify that, you know, dejected kind of whatever, I this is my life and I'm just gonna have to get through it kind of look. Everything was about maintaining the eyes for the performers and making sure that they could perform through them. And that was kept in mind from day one.
And same thing with the mouths, allowing them to vocalize, and we actually get mouth movement and vomiting. Very important. Very important. So I'm assuming that you also built and structured similarly around the mouth area to allow for the mouth to open, close, and express itself.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was a multi-piece makeup that went on. I mean, it wasn't like it was just a single face prosthetic that glued down. So the lower lip and chin and stuff were separate to make sure we could get some movement in there. I mean, they all have dentures as well to give them kind of like the rotty, weird monkey teeth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we knew this was going to be a big part of it was, these guys eat half the movie is them just sitting in a field, like eating stuff. And, so knowing that, you know, we went into it again with that thought, you know, that, hey, we've got to make sure that we, you know, put our edges for the prosthetics in a place where, you know, when somebody's eating, that it's not just going to be a constant, like the corners of the mouth are always problematic, you know, with lifting and that sort of thing. So it's like, okay, so we'll pull those back just even, you know, an eighth of an inch further back, than normal, just to make sure that they're not getting all the abuse of constant movement and flexing and eating and slobber and all this other stuff. Like I said, the lower lips were done as a separate appliance just to keep the, because they had a bit of a wrap around into the performers, you know, into their lip. And just knowing that in a worst case scenario, then we could pull that off and replace it if it was coming apart. But, it's all the stuff that, you know, it kind of comes with experience of doing this stuff over years. And we just did it on a biblical scale of just, again, every frame of every day.
This truly was done on a biblical scale. You got that right, Steve. And I do have to ask you about working with water and the foam latex and the hair. What kind of challenges did that present? Because you've got the whole body in the water in the case of Jesse's character, and you have the other two are in the water as well.
Yes. Riley got in and up to her waist and stuff. I mean, the big thing there was foam latex, again, it's a big sponge, right? So, I mean, it's pretty forgiving to water. I mean, the biggest factors there, and I remember this is the things that I was having the conversations about at the time, was like the Eel River, which is where we shot it, was, I want to say it was around 40, 41 degrees Fahrenheit at the time. It was all snow melt. And so, I mean, it's freezing cold, you know, and so getting the guys in there, Jesse in particular, you know, and ultimately the part where his head actually ends up underwater, he's in a hot tub.
Okay.
But you know, leading right up to that, you know, a lot of the struggle is actually in the river, you know, and, you know, him submerging himself. And so for us, you know, again, foam latex, it's really forgiving. It's a big sponge. We, you know, got at the end of the day, we run, you know, wring it out and squeeze it out as best we can. And then we put like air movers. We had like just big air movers from the hardware store that we connected a bunch of hoses to, and we're cycling air through them to try and dry them. The brothers actually had a sauna at the house they were staying at, and they're like, we could throw them in there and we'll dry them in there overnight if we can. And so we were doing that. It's just anything we could do to dry them out and keep them functional. But the water's not overly abusive to the suits. It's overly abusive to the actor if you can't get it out of the suit for the next time they need to wear the suit.
And what kind of fastener did you have on these suits so you could get them in and out of it? Did you have an invisible zipper in the back? Ties, hook and eyes?
There is. There's a zipper up the back from, you know, about basically the tailbone all the way up to the base of the skull. And we had Velcro and little snaps and stuff running around the collar. So, I mean, the beauty of hair is you can hide a lot of stuff. I mean, that was the one good thing we had for this. And we kept that in mind, you know, again, knowing that we were going to have, you know, Christoph has done suit work before. You know, Nathan was you know, willing to just do whatever he needed to do because it was his movie. But the other two, like, then we knew this is something new to them. They don't know what they're getting into, even if they think they do. And so we got to, you know, make this as user-friendly as possible for them. So it was still a process. We still have to unglue the hands. We still have to unglue feet, you know, things like that, if they want to take the hands off to eat, or, you know, if they want to take the body off. I mean, it's still 10, 15 minutes to get them out of it, and another 15 to 20 to put them back into it, put them back together. So, you know, and that's just pulling it down, like, around the waist, you know, not actually getting them out of it, per se. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, we just considered everything we could possibly think of in the, you know, and incorporated it however we could, knowing it was going to be a worst-case scenario on a daily basis.
Your work here is just beyond outstanding, Steve. It is the most impressive work from you that I have ever seen. And I mean, I love your work, what you did in Pacific Rim, Solomon Kane. I go back watching your work, and there are no words to describe the level of excellence here. And it's not just in the costume, but the fact that we believe in these creatures. We believe that they exist. There is nothing cartoonish or funny. It is so natural and so in tune and touch with the environment. Just outstanding. Outstanding,
yeah,
Steve.
Thank you. I mean, and I will never not say that I credit much of that to the actors in the suits, because, you know, I mean, I agree that, you know, that I couldn't be prouder of the team we had, you know, and the work we did. You know, it's unheard of to try to do something like this, and the fact that you can walk into it and you go, oh, it's a makeup effect for the first maybe 60 seconds, and then you just forget about it. And it's just now they're characters. And that was the goal, and I couldn't be happier that it worked out that way. But again, most of that, in my mind, that's as much a credit to the actors as it is to our work, and I think we had a dream team across all fields on this thing. So,
well, at no time did I ever think this was makeup, and that's due to the brothers opening with a wide shot so that you get the, it's like, am I seeing this? Is it real? And then slowly we get closer to this family unit. Just so well done. So well done, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I know they're probably going to cut me off here. Our 20 minutes is gone. So this has been a joy, Steve, and I hope we get to speak again in the future.
I do. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care.